Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Pei Vav. We're getting close towards the end of the Masechta, and we begin with the new Mishnah, about 10 lines down from the top of Pei Vav Omud Aleph. The Mishnah begins and tells us, Shlosha Gittin Psulim, the following three Gittin, while as we'll see, they are not lechatchila to ever be used to divorce a woman, and if a woman receives such a get, she should not be considered divorced. She should go get a new get from her husband. Nevertheless, the Amnit says, if the woman got married to another man based upon having this get, and she has children with that other man, havlod kosher. Any children she has with that second husband are not considered to be mamzerim. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what is the status of this marriage. Does she have to stay in this marriage? Does she have to leave this marriage? But the bottom line is that the children that come from such a second marriage are not halachically considered to be mamzerim. The bottom line is, because all three of these scenarios all are actually a get that would be valid on a deraisa level, but the rabbi said on a derabbanan level, they're not good lechatchila. So, shlosha gittin psulim, the following three types of gittin are not considered good lechatchila for a woman to get divorced with them, but the child is not a mamzer if a child is born from the second marriage. What are these three gittin? So, kosav bichsav yodo, the person, the husband who gives the get, wrote the get with his own hand, te'enol of edim, and there are no edim on such a get. Now, Rashi points out that this machlokis is totally on the machlokis, the famous machlokis we had throughout the Masechta between Rav Meir and Rebbe Lazar, as to whether, as Rav Meir says, Ede Chasima Karsi, the witnesses who sign on the get, are considered valid to make the get a effectuating get, whereas the opinion of Rebbe Lazar is no, that it's Ede Masira, the witnesses who see the get being given, they're the critical factor to effectuate a get. Now, this seems to be not like the opinion of Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says the Eidei Chasima are Karsi. So this would seem to not be like Rav Meir, but Rashi points out, we're going to have at the end of the Mishnah a statement in the name of Rav Lazar, implying certainly that the Tanna Kamma is not the opinion of Rav Lazar. So which one is it? So Rashi points out that this actually is in accord potentially with the opinion of Rav Meir, because here, since the person writes his own get, Ksav B'Ksav Yodo, that's as if it's Moda, that this is a get, and Hodas Baldin Kimeya Edim Domi. So therefore, in this situation, it could be the opinion of Rav Meir, and no problem that later on we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, so therefore the ratio is certainly not the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, which would seem to be like, because there is no Edim signed on the get, so how could that be Rav Meir? We just explained it. So that's the first type of a get that's not good lechatchila, but the child that would be born from such a marriage, if a woman did get married, would not be considered a mamzer. Ksav, ksav yodo, they ain't all edim. That's number one. Number two, yesh lo edim. There are witnesses signed on this get. However, the ain bo zman, there is no time written in the get. Now, midah writes, so you don't have to write the time. The rabbi said, however, we are concerned, we had this early in the Masechta, for several possibilities, such as, for example, if there is no time written in the get, so let's say a husband married his brother's daughter. So he married his niece, and then Nebuch, she was Mizana unto him. Now, he loves his niece because she's his brother's daughter, his niece. He's not happy that his wife committed adultery. However, he doesn't want her to get a capital punishment, because if she committed adultery, she's Mechuyevis in Misa. And therefore, in this situation, he gives her a get without a date on it, and therefore, it could appear that she's already a divorced woman at the time that she committed adultery. So that's one of the reasons why we say that such a get is not good midrabanan, but on the derais level it's good. And if the woman, in fact, got married after receiving such a get that had edim on it but no time on it, so the child that would be born from the second marriage, the man that she gets married to, would not be considered a mamzer. That's case number two. Case number three, yesh bo zman vein bo elu eid echad. It does have the time written on it, and there is one witness signed on it, but there isn't a second witness signed on it. And here, in this situation, the person who wrote the get, so he or the husband could be considered to be the second witness. Now, the Gemara will have a discussion as to whether it's the husband who wrote the get over here, or whether it's the sofer that wrote the get over here, and why they would count possibly as the second witness, that we wouldn't allow this lechatchila, but b'diavad, if the woman got married based upon this, the child would not be a mamzer. So these are the three cases, and then the Mishnah repeats it and says, Hare elu shlosha gittim psulim v'imnisis avlad kosher. It repeats what it said at the beginning. The Gemara will say, why did it have to tell us in the first place that there are three? We know how to count. And then why did it reiterate that there are three? The Gemara will give us an explanation for both of these statements, and we'll see that in a few moments. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, we have the Girsa of Rabbi Eliezer, but Rashi has the Girsa of Rabbi Elazar. And if you see in the Masoras HaShas on the side, he says, that the Tosfos Yontif also has the Girsa of Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. And this is, in fact, in every place that we have this, this is really Rabbi Elazar and not Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll read it as Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, is Afal Pi She'en Lo Avedim, even though there are no witnesses signed on this get. But Elo Shemisano Law Bifnei Edim, but he did give it to her in front of Edim. In other words, the Edim Asira were present. So then Kasha, this is a valid get lichatchila, and there is no problem, and a woman is allowed to go and get married based upon such a get, because Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that the witnesses were only added to the get, as the Mishnah tells us, for Tikkun Olam. So we'll see that in a second. But it is 100% valid get midaraisa, and it's good even midirabanan, and a woman is allowed to go and get divorced. Be divorced by receipt of such a get. So, it is such a good get that v'gova minichasim ishubadim. If the woman goes and brings this forward to go collect the ksuba and the husband doesn't have any money, she's allowed to go and get from what are called the nichasim ishubadim, which we've spoken about many, many times. These are properties that the husband sold after they were married, so they're already mishuba, they're already leaned to her payment of her ksuba. And even though this get doesn't have signatures on it, but there are witnesses that are around and testify that this was a valid get. The Edim Mesira effectuated the get. Therefore, it is a valid get to even go collect her ksuba from Nechasim Mishubadim. And the reason why the rabbis, even according to their laws, said you should sign on the get, albeit it's not necessary min hadin, is She'eino Edim Chos min ala get, elamini tikkun olam. They only did this to make it more possible for the woman to prove that she was a divorced woman. Because if she's only relying upon two people, that are the Edei Mesira, what happens if those two people aren't around? What happens if Chas V'Shalom they die? Then we have no way to prove that this get is a valid get. But if you have two witnesses that sign on it, so then those signatures can be authenticated, and we can then prove that this is a valid get from the signatures of witnesses. So it's only been they tikkun olam, that you shouldn't have problems and fighting that the rabbis enacted that you should sign on the get, because midaraisa, Rabbi Elazar holds Edei Mesira would have been enough. Okay, Gemara starts off and says that the Mishnah told us there were three cases, and the Gemara questions, Vesuleka, aren't there other cases where, while we don't let the woman be considered to be lechatchila able to marry the second person, nevertheless the children wouldn't be mamzerin? Aren't there other cases? Bo'iko get yoshin. We have this machlokas between Beisil and Beishami as to whether a person is allowed to go and use a get that he wrote to divorce his wife, if he then, after he wrote the get, but before he gave it to her, he was closeted alone with her. He was with her someplace, and the concern is maybe they had relations, because libo gaspa, they're already familiar with each other, and therefore that would essentially nullify the get, because we would say that the original get was no longer valid because they had had relations with each other. So if he was nisyachidimo, Beishame says this get is still a valid get, but Beisila said, no, this get can no longer be used. So wouldn't this be another example where if such a get was given and the woman got married to somebody else, wouldn't the child not be a mamzer? So why isn't it listed in our Mishnah? I should have said there are four cases. So the Gemara says, because Hossam, in that case with the get Yashan, we would say, lo teitse, that she doesn't have to leave her husband. So the children aren't mamzerim, but she would have to leave her husband according to the three cases of a Mishnah. Hocha teitse, here in the three cases of a Mishnah, so we just don't penalize her by having the children being mamzerim, but she's not allowed to stay with that husband. Whereas in the case of get Yashan, we paskin that she shouldn't have gotten married with that get, but if she did get married with that get, she's allowed to stay with her husband, and of course the children would not be mamzerim. So that's why, according to the answer of the Gemara, it wasn't listed in the cases in our Mishnah. Mor says, that's great if you hold like that. Ha-nicha, that works out fine. L'man d'yomar ha-chateitze. And in the case of the get Yashan, lo-teitze. So that works out fine if you hold like that. That in our Mishnah, the three cases, while the child's not a mamzer, she's not allowed to stay married to her husband, the second husband. But L'man d'yomar ha-cha lo-teitze. But according to the opinion, it says in our Mishnah, she's allowed not only that the children aren't going to be on the same as the second husband, but once she got married, she's allowed to stay with that second husband. So then that's exactly the same thing as the get Yashan. Michael Amemar, why is not, according to that opinion, the get Yashan listed in our Mishnah? So it says, Yitaka, right? Ella, what's the difference? Because Hossam, in the case of the get Yashan, Tinase lechatchila, if she has such a get and she's not yet married, so she'd go to the rabbis and they say, yes, you can use that get. Okay, you shouldn't have had that type of a get, but let's say you can't get another get from your husband for whatever the reason, so then you can get married based upon that get Yoshon. Whereas in our Mishnah, Hocha Bidiyevet, that's only allowed Bidiyevet if the woman went and got married. So then, okay, according to the opinion, it says, Lo Teit says she doesn't have to get divorced, and of course the children aren't Mamzer, and that's clear. But there's a difference between the get Yoshon, Tinosi Lechachila, and the three types of gittin mentioned on Mishnah where it's only b'di'evet that she's allowed to stay married to her husband. So therefore, that's why get yasha is not listed in our Mishnah. Fine. Gemara says, really? Still, there's no other cases. Well, you could get koreach. What about the bald get? We mentioned already previously in the Masechta that in order to make sure that Kohanim didn't act in a rash way, because a Kohen cannot go and take back his wife, regularly, so if he acts in a rash way, not a good idea, but if he acts in a rash way and divorces his wife, he can take her back as long as she hasn't gotten married to somebody else. But a Kohen cannot do that. Kohen's not allowed to be Maxi Gushoso. And therefore, the rabbis instituted making a very complicated get to physically write up, called the Get Makusher, that a Kohen has to use. It has to be folded over and sewn and then signed and folded over and sewn and signed. So this way it would take a while and hopefully the Kohen would calm down and say, what am I doing? I really love this woman and I don't want to divorce her, and my rashness, they made this get, Makusher, a more difficult get to write. Hopefully the Kohen would calm down and not divorce his wife. But with all the details of the get Makusher, you have to have a signature on every fold that is sewn over. And let's say one space, one fold, did not have a signature, so that's called the get kareach. Now that get is on a deraisa level perfectly good, but under a rabbanan level, the rabbi said that that's not a good get. So wouldn't that be another case where if the woman got married with such a get kareach that the children would not be a mamzer, and therefore this should in fact be included in the listing of the cases of the Mishnah, not three, should have been four? So Gemara says, no, in the case of a get kareach, the din is hosam havlad mamzer. No, that scenario is that get is no good, and the children are a mamzer, because this goes like the shita, as the Gemara tells us, of Rav Meir. So in the case of the get kareach, the child is a mamzer, and in the case of our Mishnah, hocha havlad kasha, the three cases of our Mishnah, the vlad is not considered a mamzer, and that's why, of course, get kareach is not listed, because it's not similar to the cases of our Mishnah. And Gemara says, that's great if you hold like Rav Meir. Haniach l'Rav Meir. Now we'll read the parentheses because it's correct. I'm not sure why it's in parentheses. Haniach l'Rav Meir, d'amar kol mishanam imabeh, shetobu chachamim begitin, havlad mamzer. According to Rav Meir, even though it's only something that is no good, midirabbanan. So the rabbis counseled you over here and said, if you didn't use the matbeya, if you didn't use the format, the right language that the rabbis instituted, so they said the get is not a good get, and therefore the children are mamzer. It's like a knas that the rabbis instituted over here. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, we understand why the child is considered a mamzer. El Rabbanan, that don't hold like this opinion, Rav Meir, that if you're mishanami matbeya shetovu chacham begitin, it's not a good get. They say, yeah, but it is a good get, and therefore the child is not a mamzer. So why is this opinion, at least according to the Chachamim, not listed in the Mishnah? Ma'ikel Amem, what are you going to say? So it says again, the difference is because in the case of get kareach, hosum teitze. Here, in this situation, the woman's not allowed to live with her second husband. And in our three cases of the Mishnah, here we now say, hocha lo teitze, that according to this, the three cases of Mishnah, she's allowed to stay married to a second husband. B'di'evit, she wasn't supposed to get married to him, l'chachila, but b'di'evit, she's allowed to stay married to him. And that's the difference between the get kareach, where she's not allowed to stay married, and our three cases of the Mishnah, where she is allowed to stay married, which is the opposite of what we said before. And now we flip that around and say, that works out great if you say that in our Mishnah, she doesn't have to go and leave her husband. But according to the other opinion that we brought down, Elamandi Omar, Hocha Teitze, that in fact she does have to leave her husband, albeit the children aren't Mamzeri, but she's not allowed to stay married to her second husband. So then, Michael Memer, then the exact same din applies as with the Get Kareach. So Gemara says, no, Bimakusher lo komairi. The reason why, even though the din are the same between the three in the Mishnah, in the case of the Get Kareach, is because our Mishnah is not talking about a Get Makusher. Our Mishnah is only talking about regular type of Gittin, and therefore that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah. But technically, you're right. According to the opinion, it says our Mishnah is also Teitze, so the din of the Get Makusha is also Teitze. You're right, there's no difference in the din. It's just not talking about Get Makusha. According to Vinyan, it says our Mishnah is low Teitze, so we understand there's an obvious difference between the Get Kareach, which is Teitze, and the three cases of our Mishnah, which is low Teitze. Fine. Moore says, really, there's still no other cases, that only three in the Mishnah? For Iko Shalom Malchus. We learned earlier in the Masechta that in order to maintain nice relations with the Goyish government, they shouldn't persecute us and they should consider us to be honoring them. So we would write the name of the local government into the get. So if this was the Babylonian empire that the get was being written in, so they were dated according to the king or the leader of the Babylonian government. The get was written in the third year of his reign, the seventh year of his reign. So that was for Shalom Malchus. So they would say, oh, the Jews hold us in high esteem, and hopefully they wouldn't persecute us and cause us trouble. So the get that doesn't have Shalom Malchus, we said it's not considered a good get. And therefore, it's only midirabbanan, not a good get, so the children shouldn't be mamzerim if she gets married to a second person with that get. So why isn't the get that is leaving out Shalom Malchus not considered to be part of our Mishnah? So where it says, because in that case where you left out the dating according to the local government, the din is that even b'di'evet, the woman can't stay married to her husband. Hasum teitzei. Whereas in the three cases of the Mishnah, according to the opinion that says lo teitzei, our Mishnah is lo teitzei. So that's why it's not listed. Where it says, okay, that's again great. Honey, flaman di amar hacha lo teitzei. And in the case of the lacking of the Shalom Malchus, you do have to be Teitzei. Oh, so that's an obvious difference. That's why it's not listed. Ella, what about the Man D'Yomar? Ella, Man D'Yomar, Teitzei, that our Mishnah also is Teitzei, so then the same din applies. If you left out the Malchus, and therefore there's no Shalom Malchus, you have to leave your husband, even if you got married to him. Okay, the children won't be Mamzerim, but you have to leave your husband. So in the case of our Mishnah, if it's also Teitzei, so then why isn't it listed as the fourth case in our Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, again, it's in parentheses over here, but the words are all correct. So we'll read them. Hasam havlad mamzer, hacha havlad kosher. Here, we're saying, no, there's a big difference. In the case of the get that left out the date of the local government, the timing of the local government, so then the vlad is a mamzer. Even, you have to leave the husband, and the vlad is not a good job. It's a mamzer. Because this will go like the opinion of the Meir, that if you're mishanim, you matbeah of the chachamim, so then the get is not a good get, and the children are mamzerim. So that's why that case is not listed in our Mishnah, because hachah, in our Mishnah, we just said, the three cases are vlad kosher. So again, the Gemara says that works great if you hold like Rebbe Meir. Honey, Rebbe Meir, El Rabbanan, Michael Meimar. But according to the Chachamim, who don't hold like that, and they would say that the child's not a mamzer, so then, if you left out the malchus in the get, so then, granted, you have to leave the second husband, Teitzei, according to this opinion that says it has to be Teitzei, and the child's not a mamzer, so that's exactly the same din as the Mishnah. So Gemara says, obviously, Mokim Loki Rav Meir. So according to this opinion that you say that our Mishnah holds Teitzei, so they have to hold like Rav Meir. They can't hold like the Chachamim. The awesome of Vlad Mamzer. And therefore, in our Mishnah, according to this opinion of Rav Meir, the child is a Mamzer. Whereas in the three cases of the Mishnah, according to Rav Meir, Hocha Vlad Kosher, Rav Meir would also agree that the Vlad is Kosher, because he's not Bimishana, Bimakbeah, Shel Chachamim. And therefore, even Rav Meir would say in our Mishnah that the child is not a Mamzer. Now the Gemara says, we listed three cases at the beginning of our Mishnah, and then we said at the end of that ratio of the Mishnah that there are these three cases. So why did it reiterate the second time, and why did it even tell us the first time the three? We could count. So, minyana de reisha lemutimai, and minyana de seifa lemutimai. Why did it list that there are three cases at the beginning of the paragraph, and then why did it list again that there are three cases at the end of the paragraph? Of what value is telling us that? So the Gemara says, minyana de reisha, the first time it says that there are three cases in our Mishnah, shlosha, gittin, psulin. So why did it tell us that there are three? We could have counted. So it's teaching us lemute hani damari, because all of the cases that we tried to bring down, the case of the get kareach, the case of the get yosher, the case of the get that left out the date of the malchus. So I might have thought that all of those are good. But when you tell me three, I'll know that those three are not included. The other three that we tried to bring down aren't included. So minyana de reisha is lemute hani damari. All of those cases are excluded. I'll know that because it said three and only three, and not that fourth, the fifth, and the sixth possibility. Fine. Then why did it repeat it? Minyana de Seifa, why was that necessary? Lemute, that was necessary to exclude Hadatani, the following brisa, which gives us the following case that we learned earlier in the Masechta, right at the beginning of the Masechta, Hanevi get Medina Sayam. So we said that din is if you bring a get from Chutz Laretz, so they weren't either knowledgeable about the dinim of a get, that it had to be written lishma, and therefore you had to have somebody state that before nechtav, or because there were concerns about not having witnesses to establish that it was a valid get, so therefore they had to state before nechtav. Fine. So if you bring this get from the Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, so you give it without saying before nechtav. The son of law will law amar law. So Aaron goes the word law before nechtav, because it doesn't have to technically be in front of her. It could just be that they bring it to the basin and say before nechtav. So that's why some leave out the word law. In any event, if you didn't say the proper verbiage of before nechtav, so yotzi, the woman's not allowed to stay married to this new husband that she got married on based upon such a get. And in fact, havlad mamzer de rebbei, because again, rebbei is of the opinion kol b'shara mi mabea shet. So it's not a valid get. So therefore, the child is a mamzer. And therefore, that opinion would not be able to be included in our Mishnah if you left out before nechtav. Our Mishnah said the child would not be a mamzer, and according to Rameh, the child would be a mamzer. The Chachamim ain't a vlad mamzer, whereas the opinion of the Chachamim would be that the child is not a mamzer. So that's why our Mishnah could have listed it according to the Chachamim, but it says three to teach us the opinion of Rameh. Now, in any event, what do you do in that situation? The price of it continues. How do you make that a kosher get? Because even Rebbeya says, possibly, that Teitzei, so we want to make it into a kosher get that she can stay married or go and marry a new husband. So what should you do? So Kate said, Yaseh. So you lend right then, you had to go take the get back from her. And then the Yaseh, then a little bit nay shnayim, the Yomar, the funny nechtam, funny nechtam. Since the person was there at the time that they wrote it, and was there at the time that they signed it, and he can legitimately say, the funny nechtam, take the get back. It's the valid get. There's nothing wrong with the get. And go and re-give it in front of two witnesses, where you now say, b'fonai nechtav, b'fonai nechtav. And that will make it a kosher get. So therefore, the second time it said this was to exclude this opinion of Rav Meir that would say that, in fact, Avlad Mamzer, so therefore, that's why it's not included in the cases of our Mishnah. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, what about these three cases? The first one was, Kosa b'chsav yodo, the anal of Edom. So he wrote it with his own hand. The husband wrote the get out with his own hand, but there are no witnesses on it. So we had explained that that would be a kosher get, even according to Rav Meir, because Hodas Baldin Kimei Edom Domi, because he's testifying basically that this is my get that I gave to, because it's his handwriting. Now the Gemara says, Omar Rav Kisav Yodo Shaninu. This is only talking about a case of Ksav Yodo. Now, this is problematic, because Rav, as great an Amora as he was, it's usually classified as an Amora, so why is he reiterating what the Mishnah said? Hi. So on what part of the Mishnah did Rav's statement go, Ksav Yodo Shaninu? So if you're going to tell me it goes on the Reisha, Kosav Ksav Yodo, Einol of Edim, Ilema Reisha, so Pshita, Ksav Yodo Ktani. That's exactly what it said. So Rav wouldn't just repeat what the Mishnah said. You're going to tell me it goes on the middle case, Ella Amitsiosa, which is talking about the case that there were two witnesses on it, but there was no time on the get, there was no Zman on the get, so then how could he say, Ksav Yodo Shaninu? That's not correct. Hare Yesh Olof Edim. It's because there are witnesses that are written on the get that makes it into a valid get. Okay, doesn't have the time, so it's not good. But either Tetzel or Lo Tetzel, that was the machlokes we just said before, but the child would not be a mamzer. So that can't be on what Rav is stating, Ksav Yodo Shaninu, because that has nothing to do with the second case. Oh, Elwase, if it goes on the third case. What was the third case? Was Yeshbosman, there was a time listed in the get. It has Zman, so it meets that criteria that the rabbi set up. However, the Ein Bo Elo Eidechon, it only has one witness on that get. And that's problematic, because you need two witnesses, but there was the person who wrote the get. So on that, and we turn to Pei Vav Omud Beis, that's where Rav said, V'davka Ksav Yodo the Eid. That will only be good according to Rav, because the person who wrote the get was the husband, and you can combine his writing it with the aid in order for it to be a kosher get that the child is not considered a mamzer. Now the obvious question is, and Rashi points this out, I'm reading on the top Rashi, havlat kosher, even if there is no witness on the get at all, you just have the ksav yodo of the husband. So why is it necessary to tell us that if you have no witnesses, but it's the ksav yodo of the husband, it's a kosher get? So why do you have to tell me that if you have one witness and it's the ksav yodo of the husband, that the child is certainly also not a mamzer? So Rashi says, because Havamina, I would have said that maybe in that scenario where you have not only the ksav yodo of the husband, but you also have one aid, that you might have thought, Rashi says, tinasi lechatchila, you should be allowed to use such a get and get married lechatchila. Oh, kamash v'lan. The Mishnah is telling us that even though you have one aid on it, so nevertheless, you can't go get married lechatchila, but the child will not be a mamzer. That is the opinion of Rav. So his statement of ksav yodo is telling us over here, in the third case of the Mishnah, that that still is going to be not something that is valid l'chachila. So Rav's opinion is, when it says in the Mishnah, ksav yodo shaninu, so that means it's talking about the third case, and that it's the husband who was the one that wrote the get. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel amar, afilu ksav sofer ve'ed. Lam davkin, it's the husband who wrote it. It could be a sofer that wrote it. And you can combine the sofer with the single aid that the child should not be considered a mamzer. Why? Because Shahari Shanina, because we learned in a Mishnah, Yetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll learn this Mishnah. It's on Daf Pei Zayin. So Shahari Shaninu Ksav Sofer V'Eid Kosher. That Mishnah will tell us that if the sofer wrote it, but didn't sign it, he just wrote it, and you have a single aid that signed it, that is still a valid get. That's Shmuel's opinion, and that seems to contradict what Rav just said, that only if the husband was the one who wrote the get with a single aid, so that makes it, and you can't be tinasi l'chachila, but the child will not be a mamzer. Nu, what does Rav say about that Mishnah? It seems to hold exactly like Shmuel. But Rav, how would he hold that Mishnah in tomorrow's Shia? Midam, he says, no, the two cases are incomparable. Awesome, in the Mishnah in tomorrow's Shia, tinasi l'chachila, you can go and get married l'chachila with such a get. And therefore, Rav understands that that scenario is not when it says that the ksav of the sofer, the A, kosher, it means that the sofer not only wrote it, but he also signed it. So you have two witnesses over there signing that get, and that's why it's good. Tinosi lechatchila. We'll have to discuss, obviously, Rav's opinion in tomorrow's shiur. Why was it necessary to tell us that case? Isn't that a standard case? So we'll discuss that in tomorrow's shiur. But that's how Rav understands the Mishnah in tomorrow's shiur. And therefore, in today's shiur, he would say, no, if you have the sofer sign on it, it's only good. But if the sofer just writes it but doesn't sign on it, then it's not good. And that's why our case is talking about where the husband was the one that wrote the get and not the sofer. No, what does Shmuel say to that? Shmuel, Lokash, he says, no, that's not a problem. He says, ha, in the Mishnah, in tomorrow's shiur, we're talking about Besafra de Muvach. That's talking about a sofer that is a baki. He's a very knowledgeable. He's a maven in writing Gittin. And therefore, even though he didn't sign it, but you can guarantee that the sofer in that situation only wrote the get because he was assigned by the husband, he was authorized by the husband to go and write the get. And he's a sofer muvach, and therefore we're not concerned that he made a mistake and wrote the get without being assigned by the husband to write it. Because if he wasn't assigned by the husband to write it, then you're right, then it's not a valid get. But that's dealing with a sofer muvach, so therefore, even though he didn't sign it, he just wrote it, you can combine his writing it with the signature of the other witness, the one witness that's on that get, to be a kosher get lechatchila, the tinosi lechatchila. Whereas in our case, v'ha, b'safra de lo muvach, here we're dealing with a sofer who's not considered a mumcha, and therefore he may have written the get without being authorized by the husband to do so. And that's why in our Mishnah we say that lechatchila, you can't get married with such a get because maybe the sofer didn't know the rules. But b'di'evit, if they did use such a get, so the children would not be mamzerim from the second husband. Now the Gemara continues and tells us that Rav Yochanan also put his opinion in regarding this machlokis like Rav. V'chein om Rav Yochanan kisav yado sheninu. He said, similar to Rav, that our Mishnah in the third case is also talking about the husband was the one that wrote it with one witness signed to it, exactly like Rav said. How do we know that? Because Amalei Rabbi Elazar, his Talmud, Rabbi Elazar, said to Rabbi Yochanan, Hare yesh alav edim. But the case in the middle of the Mishnah is talking about that there are edim. So how can you tell me that ksav yado sheninu, that it's talking about the second case of the Mishnah? It's obviously not talking about the first case of the Mishnah because that was said beferish. So again, like we just said for Rav before, Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said back to Rabbi Elazar, Asef, I'm talking about the third case, not the second case, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is exactly the same as Rav. Okay, now, Zimnin, when Rav would learn our Mishnah with the three cases, Zimnin Omar Rav Teitze, the Zimnin Omar Rav Lo Teitze, like we had already brought down, there were two different opinions as to what the halach is in our Mishnah, and when Rav taught the Mishnah, sometimes he would say that Teitze, that the woman, while the children from her second husband are not going to be mamzerim, she's not allowed to stay with that second husband, whereas other times he taught that no, she's allowed to stay with the husband. So how could that be? It's the same Mishnah. So why did Rav sometimes teach Teitze and why did Rav sometimes teach Lo Teitze? How Ketzad? How could that possibly be? So the Gemara explains that when Rav said that Lo Teitze, that's a scenario where she already has children from that second husband. Yesh Lo Banim. And since we're not going to have those children, we call Mamzerim. So if we were to make her get divorced from her second husband, so then it would cast aspersions on the children. So therefore, if she already got married and had children with the second husband, then Rav would say that the halach is the children aren't Mamzerim and she's allowed to stay married to that second husband. Lo Teitze. However, then, okay, it's Yesh Lo Banim, Lo Teitze, but Ein Lo Banim, if she doesn't have children, so then there is no concern over here casting aspersions on the children. There are no children, and therefore Teitze, the din is that she's not allowed to use that get. That's not a valid get, lechatchila, and therefore we don't allow it to be used b'di'evit if there's no impact upon children because there are no children yet. So that's what Rav would say, sometimes Teitze, and sometimes Lo Teitze. Now, Mosiv Marzutra Bar Tuvia asks on Rav, saying, how can you allow her to stay married to this person just because she has children? That could lead to a takola. Why is that? Because we had a Mishnah in Yevamos. The Mishnah in Yevamos tells us that in the scenario where a man was married to two women, and one of the women was an erva to his brother. So, for example, the man married his brother's daughter, and now if he dies childless, so she would fall to her father in Yibam with the tzara, with the co-wife. So then in that situation, the din is that once one of the two wives is an erva to the Yavam, so we don't allow Yibam and no chalitza is required either, not only for the erva, of course, but even for the co-wife. That's what we learned in the Mishnah in Yevamos. Now, the chulam, it says over there, all of these women, where you had one wife who is an erva to the Yavam, and the other co-wife is not. So we said that you don't need to do Yibam, but what happens if the marriage to the one that is the erva was a Sofek marriage? So what do we do in that scenario for the co-wife? Maybe, in fact, the husband really was married to the woman who would be an erva to his brother, and therefore no Yibam v'chalitza is necessary. On the other hand, maybe they're not married, and therefore Yibam v'chalitza is required of the co-wife. But you can't do Yibam because maybe it's Eishes Ach Shalomu Bakum, it's because maybe they are married. But you can't let her go free, married to the Shuk, without having Chalitza, because maybe, in fact, the marriage to the Erva was not a good marriage, and therefore she's a regular Eishes Ach that falls in Yibam. So therefore, the Mishnah said over there, the Chulon, whenever there was a case that the wife who was an Erva to the Yavam, Shayu Ben Sofik Kiddushin or Sofik Erishin, we're not sure was it a valid marriage, or we're not sure, they were definitely married, but we're not sure whether it was a valid divorce or not. In all of these situations, you can't do Yibam, but you can't be free to go and marry to the Shuk. So we require the co-wife who's not the Erva to undergo Chalitza. If she needs Yibam Chalitza, so she got Chalitza, 100% good. And if she didn't need Yibam Chalitza, no harm really is done by giving her Chalitza, because it doesn't really impact her. No, Isser is done by her undergoing Chalitza. And the Mishnah says, what exactly do we mean by Sofek Kiddushin, and what do we actually mean by Sofek Gerushin? So, case of Sofek Kiddushin. What's the example of a case that it would be Sofek Kiddushin? So, the Mishnah there said, Zorak Lo Kiddushin. The husband gave to this woman who would be an erva to the Yavam, he gave her a Kiddushin. He gave her a Shtar Kiddushin. He threw it at her, or he threw money at her. And Sofek Karav Law. Sofek Karav Law. This is the classical case. We're not sure. Did it come into her possession or not? If the case of Kiddushin came into her possession, or the Shtar came into her possession, so then she's a married woman. But if it didn't come into her possession, she's not a married woman. So, Zeo Sofek Kiddushin. This is the scenario of Sofek Kiddushin. Now, could it's the same thing by Sofek Gerushin, but it gives us a different case, and that's why this is being brought over here as a question on Rav. Rav, again, had said that sometimes lo teitze when they had children. So here's the question of Rav. What's the case of Sofek Gerushin from the Mishnah Yevamos? So kosav b'chsav yado v'ein ol eidim. If he wrote the get with his own hand and there are no eidim on it. Or the second case would be yeshel of eidim ein bozman, like in our Mishnah. Or the third case, yesh bozman v'ein bo elu eidechad. There's only one witness on it plus the writing of this get. In all of these situations, Harezeh Sofek Gerushin. In all these scenarios, this is an example of Sofek Gerushin. We're not sure if it's good, we're not sure if it's bad. And therefore, these would all be examples of Sofek Gerushin, that if this was the scenario with the woman who was the erva to the Yavam, so the other woman, the other co-wife, has to have Chalitza and not Yibam. Now, if Rav is correct, that we say that if the woman had children, in our case, after she got such a get, she, not only are the children not mamzerim, but we don't force her to go and leave that second husband. Yamas lo teitze, in that scenario, so sarasa asil yavume. If people will say, hey, wait a second, that's a really valid get, because look, she's allowed to live with her second husband. So that's going to lead to a takala over here, because they'll say that this woman who got such a get, in the case of the erva to the yavam, so that's a valid divorce, and therefore you're allowed to do yibam with the other co-wife. But in fact, that's a machlokes. And therefore, if you in fact allow Rav's din, it could lead to a takala that this co-wife would undergo Yibam, because people will say, yeah, it's a valid divorce because look, she's allowed to stay married to her second husband. So Gemara says, no, not a problem. Because this Yabi Vebekachlum. So let's say, worst scenario, she does undergo, the co-wife does undergo Yibam with the Yavam. Big deal. It, the whole thing is only Chashash of the Rabbanani. It's not a din d'oraisa. On a din d'oraisa, it's definitely a valid get. It's only mid the Rabban that we said it may not be a valid get. So, no, worse comes to worse. We allow this get to be considered a valid get, and the woman is b'chuyv on a d'oraisa level to undergo Yibam. So, we're not concerned about this Chashash of the fact that it may not be good the Rabban. Okay. Gemara now continues and tells us also, Levi Amarli Olam Lo Teitze. Levi also said in this situation that even if she doesn't have children from the second husband, she doesn't have to go out. She's allowed to stay married to the second husband. And in fact, even if she doesn't have children from the second husband, you don't have to have a divorce. Not only is the Vlad not a mamzer, but if there aren't children, she's allowed to stay married to the second husband. So Rav Yochanan also said the same din to the children of Rav Chalafta, who comes from a city known as Huna. Because he told them, your father, Rabbi Chalafta, who comes from Huna, the town of Huna, had said, she doesn't have to leave her second husband, even if they don't have children. And then he also taught them another din. And he also said, the Kartzis. Kartzis, we'll see, is a certain fly, a certain type of flying creature. This karitzis, we'll discuss in a moment what it is, sheba amir. If you find it amongst the stack of grain, eino poselas b'meichatos. If there was mechatis over there, we don't have to be concerned that this karitzis drank from the mechatis and therefore would possible the mechatis, as the Gemara will tell us, that if animals or birds drink from the mechatis, that possibles it. So the first thing the Gemara says is, my karitzis, what exactly is this creature, this flying creature called the karitzis? So Amar Abaye tells us, didavta is a fly, a large fly, the bene kipi, that lives amongst these sheaves, and therefore it was right near the mechatis waters, and we have to be concerned that it drank from it. So therefore, the karitzis, even if it did drink from it, so Rabbi Chalafta had said this second din, that eino poselas mechatis, it won't ruin the mechatis waters, because it's not considered that avoda was done from them, that it was drunk from a bird. Now, more questions. It says, Moser Rav Doniel bar Rav Ketina. Rav Doniel, who was the son of Rav Ketina, said, wait a second, we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Parah, that tells us, kola ofos posel mechatis chutz min hayona. All birds, with the exception of the Yonah, if they drink from the mechatas, they possel that mechatas from being able to be used to do the hazah on day 3 and day 7 to make a person tar from Tumas Meis. Why are all birds, except the Yonah, going to disqualify this mechatas? Mipnei shemot tzetzes. Because when they suck up the water, so it in fact is going to dribble back down. The Yonah is the exception. The Yonah, when it sucks up the water, none of it drips back down, and therefore it just took out some of the water from Mechatis, but the rest of the water that's there was not impacted by the bird, by the Yonah. All other birds, they are different. So the Yonah is the only bird that it won't ruin the Mechatis, because all the other birds call ofos postal the Mechatis, because only the Yonah is motzetzes without letting the water drip back, whereas all the other birds, when they drink from it, some of the water drips back in. Now, if in fact, that Rabbi Chalafta had said that the karitzis also doesn't poselis mechatos, so then this Mishnah in Parah should have said, chutz, not only min hayona, nisne chutz miyona v'karitzis. So obviously, Rabbi Chalafta seems to have a problem with this Mishnah in Parah. So where it says no, because there are some types of karitzis that do ruin it, and some types of karitzis that don't. So the Mishnah just listed those that there's absolutely no question about, such as the Yonah. Because lo psikale, it didn't want to start giving us some cases that are karitzis ruins it, and some cases karitzis does ruin it, so it didn't discuss it. Because in fact, the din is, the gedola lo posla, the larger karitzis, which we'll explain in a moment what that is, so that drinks in a very efficient manner, that none of it drips back down, and therefore it would not ruin the mechatas. Whereas the karitzis, when it's smaller, uktana posla, so a smaller karitzis does in fact drip down some of the water back in after it drinks it, and therefore would be like all the other ofos that would in fact ruin the mechatas. How do you define gedola versus ketana? The ad kama, until what size is the bird no longer considered a ketana, but now it's considered a gedola that wouldn't ruin the mechatas? The ad kama, so Rav Yirmiya, Vitem Rav Ami, either Rav Yirmiya or Rav Ami said, akizayis, when this karitzis, this large fly, reaches the stage of being a kizayis, so then it no longer will drip back the water in, and therefore will not passel the mechatas. Then we quote the end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Rabbi Elazar, again, we have the gears of Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar tells us, and here, in fact, the Gemara writes it down as Rabbi Elazar without a yud, so Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Afal pi v'chule. Rabbi Elazar said, even if there are no witnesses on it, because Rabbi Elazar's famous shita is Ede Mesira Karsi, so therefore this is a valid get, even if there are no witnesses signed on the get, and only b'nei tikkun olam do we say that you have to have the witnesses sign on the get. So Mor starts off and tells us, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar begitin. So Yehuda tells us the name of Rav, that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar over here in Gittin, that Ede Mesira Karsi. However, ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda, after Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel, so he told his din over to Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Omar af bishtoris. It's not only by gittin that we paskin like Rav Elazar that edei mesira are karsi, but by any get, by any document. Here, get in the generic sense of being a shtar. So any document where you have edei mesira, even though there are no edei chasima, that is a valid get. Now, that's what Shmuel holds, seemingly not like Rav. No. The Rav Savar Bishtaris Lo. That seems to imply that Rav says that our Mishnah is not talking about all types of gittin. It's only talking about a get of a woman. But a document that is not a get of a woman, Rav would say that Rabbi Elazar holds that that is not the case. Now, Is that true? The Rav Sava Bishtoris Lo Hoktani, but it says Vigova Minichosim Mishubadim. It says in our scenario in our Mishnah that you can collect from Nichosim Mishubadim. That implies that it's not only for Ksuba. That seems to imply that it's for all documents. So why is Rav saying that it only applies to Gittin? So Gemara says, because in fact, Rabbi Elazar said two statements in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Tartyomar. Number one, he said that this is a valid get if it doesn't have Edei Chasima. You only need Edei Mesira. And by the way, in any type of a document, any type of generic get for financial purposes, likewise, you can use such a get. We have Edei Mesira, but no Edei Chasima to collect from Nechosim Mishubadim. So Rabbi Elazar said two things in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Tartyomar, however, Rav Sava Kavasi B'chada, Upalag L'B'chada. He agreed with Rabbi Elazar in one din, but he disagreed with him in regards to the other din, where Shmuel agreed with him in regards to both din. Now, how do we paskin? We have a whole listing of other Amorim, how they paskin. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, in the name of Amar Rabbi Shuman Levi, Rabbi Yaakov Idi said in the name of Shuman Levi, Halacha Rabbi Elazar Begitin, he said like Rav, that the Halacha is only in regard to Elazar, in regards to a get for a woman. Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Afilu Rech HaGet Embo. Rabbi Yaakov disagreed, and he said, no, such a get that's given without Edei Chasima doesn't even have the status of being a suffix that it's a get that it would passel a Kohen from marrying such a woman. If the husband then subsequently died, she would be considered a grusha. She would be considered a full almana. For Rabbi Yani, less than the Rabbi Elazar. So then, Rabbi Yani obviously doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar. He says, no, Halacha Kamar. He says, according to the Rabbanan that argue with Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, Afilu Reacha Get Ein Bo. No, that would not be considered a valid get, even to the point that it has a Reach of a get, and it would possibly to marry a Kohen if her husband then subsequently died without giving her another get. Likewise, Uchein Amar Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Reish Lakish. Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, said the name of Reish Lakish, Halacha Rabbi Elazar Begitin. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Afilu Reacha Get Ein Bo. The same exact machlokes between Rabbi Yochan and Reish Lakish that we just brought down between Rav Yaakov Bar Idi and Rav Yanai. So again, Rabbi Yochan says over here that the halacha is that it doesn't even have the sense of a get, and Afilu Reacha Get Ein Bo. And the Gemara asks the same question: Lay Rabbi Yochan, less lay the Rabbi Elazar. So why don't we just say that Rabbi Yochan doesn't hold the Rabbi Elazar? The Gemara says no. Hakamar LeRabbanan, according to being the Rabbanan who disagree with the Rabbi Elazar, according to them, Afilu Reacha Get Ein Bo doesn't have the Reacha of a get. The Gemara continues and says Shalach LeRab Abba Bar Zavdo LeMori Bar Mar. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda sent the following to Mori Bar Mar. Boy, my name is Ravuna. Go and ask Ravuna, do we pass like Halacha Rulaz Begitin? Oh, ain't Halacha. We don't pass like Rulaz Begitin. No, he was going to be asking this to Ravuna, but by the time he got there, either Halchi, Noch Nashi, Ravuna, he unfortunately got there and Ravuna had passed away. So Amalei Rabba Bere, Rabba, who was the son of Ravuna, told him to this Mori Bar Mar when he asked the question to him, Halchi Amar Abba, Mishmei the Rabba. My father said this in the name of Rabba. Now, this doesn't work out well because Ravuna was a generation earlier than Rabba. So it can't be Rabba, and therefore the Gears on the side tells us that this should be Mishmei the Rab. Ravuna was a star pupil of Rab, so it makes more sense that the Gears here should be Rab and not Rabba. So Halchi Amar Abba, so my father Ravuna said, Mishmei the Rab in the name of Rab, Halacha Kerulaz Begitin. As we had pointed out, the Rab holds that Halacha is like Kerulaz in regards to Gittin, but not in regards to other stars. However, he added, Rabbi Seinu, Habakim B'dvar Halacha, the Rabbi Seinu, they were expert in this area of Halacha, and Rashi points out this refers to Rav Chama Bar Gurya, as we're going to say in a moment in the Gemara, said of Mishum Rabbeinu, said over the name of Rav, that Amru Halacha Kirulaz Begitin, also said Halacha Kirulaz Begitin, the Amru Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amru Rav Halacha Kirulaz Begitin, they said that in the name of Rav also that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar in regards to Gittin, but not in regards to other stars. That's the first version that we have of this. Ikar the Amri, others have the version as follows. V'chavireinu habakiyim b'dvar halacha, that this Rav Chama Bar Gurya, who's a baki in these types of halachos, the Talmid, Rabbeinu, Mishum Rabbeinu Amru, and likewise the Talmidim of Rav said over the name of Rav, halacha Rav Elazar b'gittin, like we just said, because the Amr Ruchista, here we have the name of Ruchista, Amr Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amr Rav, halacha Rav Elazar b'gittin, that we paskin like Rav Elazar regards to Gittin and not other documents, v'chein ki osa Ravin, and likewise when Ravin came from Erisol to Bavel, Amr Rav Elazar, Amr Rav Rava also said over the name of Rav, Halacha, Kirbi Elazar, Begitin, that we in fact pass like Kirbi Elazar in regards to Gittin. This is a good break point. We reach the next Mishnah, albeit we're not fully at the bottom of the dot, but we'll stop over here and conclude today's share. Have a wonderful day.